Well, we actually received the initial public document of 853 was created back in December of 2005, and that came out of the original FISMA legislation, which required NIST to develop the mandatory security standards and guidelines to allow federal agencies to comply with the legislation. So our initial controls catalog was published in December of 2005, and we've been working over the last 2 or 3 years to update the publication, and this most recent publication that was produced on July 31st kind of culminates about 2 or 3 years worth of work to upgrade our controls to make sure they are the best they can possibly be with respect to the current threat situation that we're facing.
Now, I wonder, because civilian agencies operate under different security controls than military agencies or intelligence information systems, everybody's kind of on different pages. How are you able to get everybody on the same page here?
Well, this is really what we call this document, a historic document, in the sense that we've been working for the last couple of years with our counterparts over in the intelligence community through the Office of the Director of National Intelligence and also the Defense Department to try to look at the various sets of security controls that were being used by the three communities of interest, to include the civil side that NIST represents. And it turns out that for the vast majority of the controls that were used in all three communities, we had a lot of overlap. There was a lot of commonality amongst what we were doing. So we focused on the big common middle, if you will, and we were able to develop a catalog largely based on the foundation established by NIST, and then we added to that foundation the specific controls that the intelligence community and the Defense Department were using that went beyond what NIST had traditionally put into our document. Now, we don't mandate these additional controls for national security systems for the customers that operate those systems that are not national security related, but they're in the catalog and can be used by any community of interest that chooses to do so.
So because you don't mandate it, it's at least there as guidance if they need it.
Right. Each community then can go into the catalog and they can mandate whatever set of controls are appropriate for that community of interest. So in the intelligence community and the Defense Department, the Committee on National Security Systems, or the CNSS, is working on a companion publication that will actually point to the control catalog in the NIST 800-53, and then they can pick whatever controls out of the catalog they feel are appropriate and mandate those controls for their particular communities of interest. So it's really the best of all worlds. We take advantage of our partnership with the DoD and the intelligence community to make sure that we develop the best possible controls anywhere in the world that we can offer to our customers. And then each customer, each community can pick whichever controls they feel are appropriate to do the best job at protecting their particular missions or business functions they're required to carry out.
I see. Very interesting. So you were able to find where these controls or where these security parameters would overlap between something like DOD and maybe a civilian agency and
Absolutely. Build off of that.
It turns out
that the vast majority of the controls, whether they're management, operational, or technical in nature, are common to the entire federal community. Where we tend to diverge would be in the cryptography areas, where the national security systems may require a higher grade or stronger cryptography. The personnel security in the DoD and the intelligence community, they tend to have higher security clearances, if you will, when you're working in the national security environment. And the physical security tends to be a little bit stronger around those facilities that have national security systems. But if you take out those three areas, almost everything else we had pretty much in common with the other communities.
Now, a lot of stuff has been going on in the world of cybersecurity lately, particularly in the federal government, some high-profile departures from major leadership positions. And just to clarify for our listeners, that's not going to have an impact on your research. That's not going to have an impact on these parameters.
Not at all. We continue to work in the trenches down at the very core level of information security. The standards and guidance that we develop at NIST in conjunction with our partners in the DoD and the intelligence community, all of that work continues to go at a very rapid pace. We are upgrading another two or three of our major publications, and again, in the same partnership with the DoD and the intelligence community, because we are now, more than ever before, because of the partnership, We're plugged into the threat database, so we're able to see almost in real time the types of attacks that are being launched against our federal systems, and that partnership has allowed us then to collaborate to develop the appropriate security controls which will help to stop those types of attacks. So all of that work continues on at record pace.
I was going to ask you if you were able to sort of get down in there and see those attacks that are happening, and if anything in your research to establish these recommendations, if anything really surprised you.
There's not a lot of surprises. I think there's some fundamentals that continue to exist, whether you're talking about now or 10 years ago or into the future. The systems that are being built today and the products, the commercial products that go into these information systems are very, very complex. Literally, we have millions of lines of code in the operating systems, the middleware, the applications, all riding on a bed of integrated circuits. It's an extremely complicated undertaking. It's always very difficult to figure out where to apply the appropriate security controls, the number of controls, the rigor, the assurance level of those controls, how good those controls are. Very difficult in an environment where you have this type of complexity. Also, everything is connected to everything else today. We have a full environment of connectivity amongst our federal agencies, between state and local governments and the federal government, the private sector, our contracting base. So all the connectivity and complexity are really issues that continue to make our jobs very difficult in the computer security area. But there were no real surprises. I mean, the attacks continue to get better and better. You can download very sophisticated attack tools from the Internet now, and you can launch those attacks with very low-cost laptop computers. So the attack potential is there, and there's lots of smart people out there who are continuing to try to figure out how to break into the systems. And our job on the defensive side is to try to anticipate and react to those types of attacks and close them down as soon as we can.
Does that create a sense of urgency for you, too?
It's absolutely, for us, the highest sense of urgency, especially when you see where we are moving toward with regard to critical infrastructure. In the old days of computer security, the majority of effort was focused on confidentiality, non-disclosure, the classified national security systems. But today, our increasing dependence upon information technology in every federal agency, in all of our private sector companies out there, this dependence on the technology and the ability for the adversaries to attack specific places in the systems give us great concern, especially in things like critical infrastructure, where you have electric power grids, water distribution systems, first responders that are depending upon this technology for their mission and business success. And we worry about not only the attacks bringing down significant portions of the infrastructure, but we also worry about kind of the opposite extreme, where the adversaries will implant malicious code into the systems, fully intending to keep those systems operational, but exfiltrating critical data out the back ends of the systems. In essence, they're stealing intellectual property from both the federal government and the private sector companies out there.